I'm Ruby Redstone.
And I'm Lara Johnson-Wheeler.
And we want to invite you to get dressed with us.
Or at least think about getting dressed.
While we talk about getting dressed.
This is a transatlantic podcast about fashion, where we explore what it means to have a relationship with clothes, the issues both personal and political garments can raise, and our own ever-evolving philosophies of dress. Hi, Rue. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Lara?
I am good. And all I want to know is, what are you wearing?
Oh, well, I have quite the answer for you today, because yesterday I just had a really crappy day and I was wearing sweats the whole day. And so today, when I knew we would be recording, I was like, I am putting on a capital O outfit. It started from the top of my head down because I found this acid green piece of ribbon, I think left over from like a birthday party out here. And I've turned that into a hair bow. And then I decided after I did the hair bow that I wanted to go for like a Regency sort of look because I just saw that movie Emma.
Oh my God, I haven't watched it yet. But I'm rereading Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility at the same time. So it's only a matter of time until I get to Emma.
That's like a weird mental challenge to read them both at the same time, but I like it.
Speaking characters, it's wild. It's kind of making it more exciting though.
Okay, I respect that. You should watch the movie. You should watch it like tonight. It's not my favorite story of Jane Austen's, but the costumes for the movie are incredible.
You know what? Emma was always actually my favorite because in the first line, which is like Emma Woodhouse, like young, something and pretty. She lives in Highbury, which is in Islington in London, which is actually where I grew up. And in the book of Emma, it's a suburb. But like, obviously, when I was growing up in whatever, like early 2000s London, it was not a suburb.
No. But so you are Emma is what you're saying.
Well, the other thing is I like setting people up and it always turns out to be a disaster. So kind of.
Wow. Okay. This connection goes even deeper than I thought. I'm going to have to think on that.
The connection for me with Emma is like hardcore. Plus I always used to set people up who I actually really fancied myself. So yeah, I am Emma. All right. More about your outfit. Less about moi.
Okay. So back to Emma. I've got on my Emma, the movie, not necessarily the book sort of, Neo Regency outfit I've got on. I think it's going to be a hard one to explain, but this Rihanna's lingerie line Fenty, I have on a slip from there that's like a long sleeve, floor length, acid green slip with a bunch of buttons.
Oh my God, that sounds extraordinary. I cannot even picture that. So I'm going to want a visual as soon as we're done.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send you a picture. It's pretty cool. I was kind of suspicious of her line in general, but I thought I had to try one thing. And it's actually pretty well made. And the lace is really, really, it's a nice piece of lace. So I'm impressed with her work there. I have got a white blouse that I actually had made for the rehearsal dinner for my wedding, which we will speak on in a bit. But it's just like a little baby doll blouse with a frilled collar. And this really cool woman who lives in Paris and makes like simple cotton clothing made it for me. And I really cherish it. And then I've got on some white bloomers underneath the slip that my sister got me in Australia. So I'm kind of mixing and matching a lot of different eras of history here, which you know is my favorite thing to do. And some tie-dye sock.
Wow, you are pulling out a full-on mood. So if I'm correct, is the Rihanna slip a lime acid-y green to match the bow?
Yes, so we're working with lime green and white. And lime green, I know, is one of your favorite colors, but it is not mine. And yet, I'm absolutely coated in it right now. So
that's I would like to think that's in homage to me and the recording. But lime green for some reason really worked its way into my psyche like 2 summers ago and it hasn't worked its way out yet.
Well, keep it there. I now think that's one of your like colors. Obviously for me that's pink and then you can have pink and lime green. So
yeah, I think if you look at my wardrobe right now, well actually no, my winter wardrobe is very different, but my summery kind of, I mean, we've had this conversation about seasonal dressing and I agree, I don't buy into the seasonal dressing thing, But I am really excited to bring out lots of the summer quote unquote pieces, because they're generally the lighter pieces that are more exciting to wear on bare skin. And they're all these bright limes, bright pinks, and kind of these burnt orangey colors as well.
Oh, yeah, I love your summer color palette every summer.
I'm so excited to return, because right now, Rue, I'm going to preempt your question. I'm in black.
Oh, okay.
So I today, well, I woke up and I knew we were doing the podcast, but frankly, I'm still at the limited stage of my wardrobe where I didn't have very much to wear. But I'm just wearing a long poof sleeve, close cropped waist, vintage Laura Ashley dress. And I love it. And it is wonderful. But it's much, and it kind of has joy in it, in the sleeves. I love the whole thing about this dress. Actually, I think it's the dress that you have drawn me wearing in our cover art.
Oh my God, yes. And I almost wore a pink and white Laura Ashley dress today. So then we could have truly been matching, but oh well.
That's true. Well, I'm wearing that with the black shrimps headband that I've been wearing a lot recently, the black fluffy one. And I'm wearing little black cotton socks with a frill that I found in the back of my cupboard that I probably bought when I was about 10 years old, or someone bought for me, because the heel only comes up to about halfway of my foot. And I'm wearing them with some limited edition Ashley Williams Vans.
Oh yeah. Which ones? Which pattern did you get?
They've got the new kind of newspaper print mock Galliano style punky pattern on them, which, yeah, they're fun. I mean, I like anything newspaper print in that kind of realm of things. And these kind of look really good. I like the drawings.
Cute. So you're like in a Victorian morning outfit today, and I'm in like a slutty Regency wedding outfit. So
yeah, pretty much. We're doing some anachronistic time traveling, definitely.
That's pretty much all I want to do through my clothing. So that's fine by me.
A freaking men, sister.
Speaking of which, I wanted to tell you about a thought that I had. It's the only thing I want to say about coronavirus today, because Lord knows we're here to think about something other than that. But I had this thought as I was falling asleep the other night that I wanted to unpack with you, because I think you'll sort of understand what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. And it hit me as I was falling asleep that I've been stressing about what fashion means during this time and how fashion's going to change. And I sort of had this big picture vision, which always happens to me as I'm falling asleep. I wish I could get to that headspace when I was awake. But that when you look at the arc of history, and particularly of fashion history, there are always hills and valleys. And it's in those low points, actually, that major stylistic changes happen. Like, you know, we wouldn't have had 1940s style without having World War, or we wouldn't have had women freed from the corset without having the French Revolution. And so it kind of hit me that, oh, we're just sitting in one of those valleys right now. And even though it might feel uncomfortable, and that I don't know how I want to dress right now, what's happening is actually going to be something larger than this, which I found kind of comforting.
I completely agree with you. And I've been thinking about this quite a lot. And there've also been so many kind of hot takes about how fashion's going to change. But what I mean to be saying is that I think what we want to be thinking about is how our personal style is going to be changing. And I think a really lazy way of looking at it would be like, you know, leisure wear is going to massively come back. And we all thought that the leisure wear thing was out and tailoring was back in, but no. Coronavirus has turned it around. But actually, I think it's going to be, what's going to happen is you and I are going to have complete control over this. And there's going to be an absolute resurgence of being completely over the top in what people want to wear. I think people are going to be so excited once this is all over about going out, that people are going to wear their finery on a daily basis.
Oh my God, I hope so. I mean, I know just even personally, I'm never fucking wearing leggings out of the house again if I have the opportunity to wear like a full skirt and tights and heels. That's what I want right now. And I know that's not going to go away for a while, since I feel like I've been sort of trapped in leisure wear for, you know, almost 2 months now.
The other thing is I was thinking about, it's like, I really regret all those times that, like, I'm not very practical often with my clothes. Like, you'll catch me in my Christopher Kane crystal kitten heels, like, going to the shop, or like taking my, you know, shrimps bag to a meeting when, like, that thing should really be safe for special occasions. But, like, I'm really excited because I think Corona is going to kind of break down all of those boundaries and break down all of those walls. And it might even mean that, like, we just don't have to think about that anymore. We can just wear exactly what we like, because every single thing that we do in public is going to be joyful.
Oh, that makes me feel so hopeful. That's such a beautiful way of thinking about that. And I really, really hope that that's true. And I know both of us, and I'm going to sound like my mom here, but I feel like for a long time I've been lamenting the fact that people don't dress up as much, or that there's sort of this like army of leisure wear and athleisure parading down the streets. And so hopefully something, you know, that's more personal and more joyful will take over once this is all passed.
I raise my half-drunk martini glass to that. And in the spirit of it, I say that this glass is half full.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers. Shall we move on to the topic that is technically supposed to be our theme for the week?
I think we shall. This week, Lara and I wanted to talk about fashion and relationships, particularly romantic relationships, because the two of us both feel like our romantic partnerships in our life have shaped our style in a very deep way. So, Lara, do you want to talk a little bit about your relationship, explain where you are in this life right now?
Yeah, I think that would make sense and be quite pertinent. Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting that when you, Ruby, brought up this theme, and I hadn't really thought about it, but once she said it, I thought, yeah, God, how much sense it makes. And maybe we should preface this entire conversation by saying, kind of as two quite proud feminists, I think it's not something that, had we gone back to the first years of knowing each other, we'd ever imagine us talking about.
Oh my God, no.
It's something I've just been incredibly interested to see happen. Anyway, so my relationship. So I have been in a committed relationship for 3 years now. Patrick is my boyfriend, I suppose that's what you call him, but I call him my pet, my long-term love, my domestic partner since we've been in lockdown, and many, many other things. Patrick and I met when he was an intern at Show Studio and I was the features editor. That sounds incredibly kind of Mrs. Robinson, but unfortunately it was a little bit less so. Patrick just turned 30, which makes him I guess what, like three and three months, maybe? I don't know. My maths is so bad. But we kind of met, and the night that he told me he was falling in love with me was 2 weeks before he had to leave to go back to Germany for this job. So we had 2 weeks together. He went back, and then we did 2 years apart with him in Germany and me in, well, with him in Cologne and me in London doing long distance. And then about 9 months ago, he moved to London, and he is a very, very important part of my life. And yeah, fingers crossed, we'll be moving in together on Friday if all goes according to plan. You can't see, and I swear it's not just the martini, but I'm physically blushing. I'm giving this description.
Well, he's worth blushing over because he is the most wonderful person.
He does make me blush, even though he's a big idiot. And I can even hear him right now downstairs, Rue. And I know he and Gabriel have this deeply in common. He is pumping Dua Lipa.
Yes, my darling husband, Gabriel, as I told you recently, just revealed to me that he would like to become Dua Lipa. So at least I'm not worried that he would leave me for her, that instead I would just get to be married to Dua Lipa. But I still don't know how I feel about that.
I would say a win-win situation.
Yeah, win-win-win.
Yeah. But the love for Dua Lipa is not the only thing that Gabriel and Patrick have in common.
Yes, we are both, you know, incredibly unique in that we're fashion women partnered with graphic design art director men. Just kidding.
Lovely.
It's horribly cliche, but we do love them nonetheless, so it works. Gabriel is my now husband of a little over 6 months. We got married this past summer.
Was it 6 months ago? It literally feels like years.
Right.
Such a wonderful wedding.
I guess it's been 7 months.
You weren't invited, let me tell you. It's the best weekend of my life.
Oh, it was amazing. I just want to relive it, which I know is like cheesy and everyone says that about their wedding, but I want to do it like once a year. Gabriel and I were together for 3 years before that. We're going on almost 4 years. Similar to you, two of those years were a long distance relationship while I finished university in Scotland. So know full well the misery of a long distance relationship.
Amen.
Yes. And yeah, Gabriel is just the most incredible person I've ever met. Yeah, we've had a really very blissful first year of marriage, even during this lockdown.
The crucial thing to note, I think, about our consecutive relationships is that they kind of are consecutive in a weird way, seeing as we share an anniversary merely a year apart.
I know, which I didn't even know until you told me this, which I find just very perfect for us.
It's wild. It's wild. But also so our shared anniversary is the 8th of July. So deep summer. And that kind of deep summer, I guess, I'm assuming that you were working at the time that you met Gabriel in, I want to say, maybe were you at a gallery? I was at Show Studio. That kind of time when you meet that person is so specific to the kind of clothes that you're wearing. Like, I was dressing for, you know, the time of midsummer in London when I'm definitely sweating in every orifice, my thighs are chafing, and yet, like, I have to be kind of presentable and fashionable and, like, still be comfy. So I can clearly remember so many of the outfits that I was wearing, like, during the time that Patrick was interning when I met him.
Yeah, I need to ask you this because I've actually been dying to know. What were you wearing on the first day you met him?
I actually can't remember the outfit that I was wearing on the first day I met him, because the first day I met him was honestly felt so insignificant. It's crazy. When Patrick first came to Show Studio, I just like honestly had kind of dismissed him as being like just another intern that was going to get on my nerves until I saw him. So I hadn't thought anything about what I was wearing. It felt so irrelevant. What I do remember is this one outfit that I wore when I came back from holiday and I knew Patrick was going to see me. I'd already formed my like delirious crush on him. And I'd come back from being on holiday with my parents for like a week in Greece. And I was tanned. So I was like, I don't know, a light kind of milky tea color. And I decided to wear all white in order to accentuate this tan. So actually I looked really freaking cute. I had those, you know, the big, the big Marcus Almeida shoes that we both have, the like chunky white ones.
Yeah, I miss those. Mine fell apart.
Mine fell apart and then I got them cobbled back together. So they really lasted with this great cobbler from East London.
Oh my God, those are the best shoes. I'm so jealous.
They give such a nice shape. So I was wearing those and I was wearing this like sort of frayed white denim skirt and like a, just like a long, I mean, yeah, I can't remember. It was like a long white sleeve top, but it was like kind of had like a scalloped edge and really, really perfect 3/4 length sleeves, just like to show off just enough arm. And I came back into the office, yeah, in this all white look. And I was so excited to see him, but I decided to make some black coffee and I pushed down the plunger of the coffee way too fast while I was talking to someone and the coffee splurted all over me. So Patrick never saw me in that outfit. I had to wear Nick. So when I was working at Show Studio, Nick Knight's assistant had a spare pair of overalls in the studio. and they smelled so bad. And those are what I wore when Patrick first saw me come back from holiday.
You can't see me right now, but my jaw literally dropped.
That's a true story, and it haunts me to this day.
It's like something from a rom-com.
Yeah, it was very rom-com. It was very rom-com. But what were you wearing when you first met Gabriel? Because you guys had a proper first date.
We did. We met, well, we both grew up in New York, and we had the same group of friends. He had been very close with some of my best friends. He had gone and stayed with them in Paris and whatever, but we had never properly met in person. And so we first started speaking on Instagram, which makes us a very decidedly 21st century couple. And we agreed to go on this date. It was not, we had been messaging for like a week beforehand, finally set up time to go on this date. And I remember where I was working at the time, because I had actually had the worst day at work. I was working at The Hole, this gallery on the Bowery in New York. And I think, like, I don't even remember what it was now, because insignificant work drama, but I think one of the projects that I had started had been vetoed, and we had already done a ton of work on it. So I was in a horrible mood. And on top of that, I had agreed to take my cousins, six of my cousins, all under the age of 10, to see The Secret Life of Pets in theaters that night. So I was like super pissed off from work, had to go straight from work to take this gaggle of children to The Secret Life of Pets. And I texted Gabriel being like, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't think I'm up for late night cocktails tonight. I've had the worst day, and I have six children with me, and I'm exhausted. And he said, oh, no, I promise, like, you don't know me yet, but I can cheer you up. Like, I know how to cheer you up. Not, that sounds pervy now, but it was very sweet at the time. And he was like, oh,
that sounds really pervy, and I can't imagine Gabriel saying that at all.
He was just like, it was more like, it was very sweet. It sounds gross now, but he was like, let me cheer you up. I'll come to where you are, and we can just have like a really relaxed date.
That's so I was not. Like,
all right, I have nothing to lose. I dropped off my six children back at home. And I was living with my parents at the time, because this was in between semesters of school. And so we met up and shared a beer in the park by my parents' house, and actually had the best time. And I was wearing, now to get to the crux of this, I was wearing an incredibly experimental outfit, which in retrospect, I'm really glad, because Gabriel knew what he was in for, but I would never have chosen this for a first date on my own. I was wearing this old, I'm actually looking at it right now because it's hanging in my closet, this old purple floral slip from Topshop that I got when Topshop was like still a novelty to Americans, because we didn't even have it in New York yet, I don't think. It's like just a long purple floral slip with a kilt.
One, it's really cute.
Yeah, it's a good slip. It's remained in my closet for like 10 years.
Good.
But I was incredibly sweaty. I had that with a kilt over it, this Tim Coppins sort of Antwerp designy black kilt with all these panels and zippers that hang off of it. And so it was like one part dress, one part kilt, and then more long dress coming out beneath. Doc Martens sandals. And then under the slip, I had this, I'm not even kidding, a children's training bra that my friend had given me, because she was like, oh, I used to wear this when I was a kid. My mom got it in Germany and I thought you would like it. So I was wearing this literal child's bra that I don't think was really doing any favors. And nonetheless, he stayed with me. So I guess...
I mean, there's a lot of children's items involved in that story and involved in that evening.
Yeah, and even recently I wanted to watch The Secret Life of Pets 2, and Gabriel said no because it was stupid. And I was like, well, I'll have you know that Secret Life of Pets 1 brought us together. So,
so you better watch it.
Long story short, we still haven't seen it, but...
One day.
Yeah. So fast forward a few years post first date, how do you think that your style and Patrick's style play on one another, reflect each other, clash with each other, etc.?
The big thing that Patrick has like crucially influenced me to do is buy a lot more secondhand. It's not that I wasn't doing that already. I've been an avid eBayer and, you know, shopping vintage in, you know, brick and mortar stores for years, but he definitely got me doing a lot more eBay and crucially searching for brands on eBay, which is not really something I was doing before. I was more like buying vintage on eBay because he wears a lot of Vivienne Westwood, old Helmut Lang, and all of that stuff he's buying on eBay. So that's one like kind of boring, tangible way that he's influenced me. But in terms of kind of the larger aesthetic, yeah, I think in terms of narrative, I think about my clothes in kind of a way of, you know, what is that piece saying about who I want to be today? If I'm looking at my outfit today, it's kind of about a character. It's about, you know, it's about having a conversation with someone. The last time I wore this dress, well, actually a few times ago that I wore this dress, was at a Christmas party with at my friend Frank's house with one of his dad's friends, who asked me, you know, I can't believe sleeves like that are in fashion. And she was kind of trying to be a bit like, she was a bit wasted and was like trying to be provocative, but we ended up having this really interesting conversation about the way that, you know, female trends have changed over the years. And so for me, the conversation about clothes and the conversation about buying fashion is kind of about social trends and the narrative. But I think Patrick has kind of changed the way I look at things a bit more to think about, I hate that I say this, but a bit more like how we look together, how we look as a couple, and less about what one can say about the piece. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's so funny that you say this, because I recently got a message from someone on Instagram that said, how do you and your significant other always come up with all these matching outfits? And it made me laugh because I was like, we've never sat down and been like, okay, time to think of our matching outfits for tomorrow. But I think it's an organic process when you live with someone and you share a wardrobe with them, that you sort of start to become two pieces of a look rather than each your own individual look.
But even Patrick and I don't live together, and we have the same freaking same fucking Burberry trench coat that we will like meet at a gallery together and be wearing the same thing. And our friends are like, that is so embarrassing.
And I know this is going to be maybe in danger of sounding like I put too much emphasis on the material goods of clothes, but I think even in you saying that, there's something very like selfless that comes with love there, in sort of, you stop looking at yourself as the end all be all ultimate individual, and you sort of start to consider yourself one part of a larger relationship or a pair. And the way you dress is part of that. You kind of want to compliment and flatter and go together with this other person rather than purely please yourself, which is true in so many other aspects beyond clothing as well.
Yeah, I think that's totally part of it. But it's interesting because the last part of what you say about wanting to please yourself with clothes, I think hasn't changed fundamentally. But also what I've been really interested in is this idea of wanting to please other people with what one wears and dressing for an audience. And I think that it's been really interesting to watch Patrick and my relationship develop, and how I've never felt with him that I have to dress in any way that I think he will like or approve of.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually was just listening to The High Low, a phenomenal podcast, the other day. And Pandora Sykes, one of the journalists who runs it, was talking about not clothing at all, but about meeting her husband. And she met him at 24 and got married shortly after, and was saying that rather than sort of taking away any freedom that she felt she had, the stability of being with her husband had given her the freedom to become more herself and to work on things that she actually wanted to work on. And I felt like that couldn't be more true. And I mean, I got married at age 24 and got so many questions, unprompted, from people in all aspects of my life saying like, don't you think you're too young? This and that. And that really resonated with me, just because I felt like, in terms of everything, but you know, in the very small microcosm of what we're focusing on with dress, being with Gabriel has given me that tremendous stability to stop considering everyone else, which was never a major consideration, but it's sort of now as if like I'm allowed to purely exist in my own fashion fantasies there and dress in a way that pleases only myself. And if Gabriel likes it, great. But I kind of am now no longer worried with anything outside of that.
It's kind of funny because I suppose what we're talking about is, you know, the loss of necessity to attract people through our clothes. And like once, obviously once you're with someone and you're in these committed relationships that we are lucky enough to be in, we no longer have the need to be attracting other people. And like, obviously sex is so inherent in fashion because so much of how we dress is about presenting ourselves, you know, sexually in whatever way to kind of attract partners, whether that is, you know, for men or for women, whatever the kind of, you know, whatever we're trying to say sexually is kind of wrapped up in that. But I think that it has just become really, really clear from being in a relationship that I felt like when I was younger, I was sort of approaching that a bit wrong. And I think that for me, it's not about dressing modestly or dressing sexily, which we'll get onto, I'm sure.
Yes.
But it's been about thinking about clothes that make me personally happy rather than what might make someone looking at me feel kind of aesthetically satisfied or whatever.
Yeah, precisely. And when I was thinking about the changes that my style has undergone in my relationship, modesty was a big part of that. And I think it's difficult to approach this without sounding anti-feminist or like I'm backpedaling on all the things I've worked for in my own life. But I do feel that once I met Gabriel and we started this long distance relationship, I totally began dressing more modestly. And part of that was just the trends of the time. You know, we had Marine Serre doing the head-to-toe body covering and Batsheva and prairie dressing and all that, which was stuff that naturally appealed to me and became very trendy at that time. So part of my draw was that. But then I almost want to say that in a positive way, dressing modestly kind of taught me to have more respect for my body and cherish my body, which I had done on my own. But something about being in a relationship gave me the impetus to sort of have a clean slate to approach dressing from a place of being modest and caring for myself first, rather than catering to others or finding things that were flattering first and foremost. And I think now I'm sort of approaching a sweet spot where I feel like I can do both modest and sexy in a way that feels more natural to me.
Yeah, I kind of am like, even when we're talking about this, taking umbrage with the word modesty, because I think what we're talking about is sort of kind of different from that exact term. And obviously, you know, style and trends in fashion have been changing to an incredible degree as kind of the socio-political situation has been changing, you know, with the Me Too movement, monumental moments like Harvey Weinstein, the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, you know, so much of what's, you know, been going on here as well politically. There's just been, we're living in a very, very changeable time. And I think the way that we as women are deciding to kind of put ourselves out there is very different too. I mean, so if I think about so many of my references when I was a teenager as well, like teenager, like preteen, whatever, like dressing and trying to be sexy or even just kind of trying to feel powerful and feel confident. Those things were, you know, from like, you know, 90s music videos, the Spice Girls or, Carrie Bradshaw or, you know, like the types of dressing that were kind of slinky and were looking at, you know, John Galliano's Dior or, Alaya. These types of dressing that I think right now is kind of, I don't know, feels a bit passé almost.
Yeah, definitely. And Alaya is such a poignant one for that, because I feel like for a long time, Alaya was like the powerful yet sexy woman. And now I don't think about Alaya all that much.
I think there was a period last year, 2 years ago, post when Alaya died, that there was kind of this move for people to like buy vintage Alaya, but it hasn't really stuck. And I think it hasn't really stuck because of this trend arc that we're discussing that kind of maybe happens to tie in to a time that you and I have both become entwined in relationships. But yeah, I mean, it's been really, really interesting to see because I've definitely embraced those trends a lot more too. Big poofy Simone Rocha dresses or the Cécile Bahnsen style where, you know, the silhouette is much less, you know, fitted as I used to wear and much more about skimming out over kind of being more tent-like and avoiding any kind of notion of a female body underneath. And I think there are a few kind of problematic issues when it comes to that, to creating clothes that don't, you know, that don't celebrate the lumps and bumps underneath. But I think you kind of tap into something there about hitting the sweet spot. And yeah, and I think people are just being more aware of the way that that has to be navigated.
Yeah.
I'm not sure because I feel like there is a pendulum swing a little bit going back from, you know, the modesty trend because I'm looking at what people are kind of wearing, like, you know, the cycling shorts thing and, you know, vintage Vivienne Westwood corsets and acai sheer tops and a bit of Charlotte Knowles, you know, these kind of designers in London that people are wearing are kind of moving away from that. It's not to say that, you know, the Simone Rochas and the Molly Goddards aren't still at the top of their game because I think they are. And I think a lot of women want that, but there's always going to be this pendulum swing and this kind of, you know, pin your flag to the mast. Like, where are you in terms of, you know, feminine sexuality?
Yeah. And I completely agree. And I actually love all those other designers that you've just named. I've been lusting after. I'm looking in my browser. I have a corset open right now it's a sort of Vivienne Westwood adjacent style that I'm looking at for summer. And sort of the same thing with the history of fashion and hills and valleys and changing relationships of femininity. Like you say, we're always eager to pin our flag somewhere, but it can't be permanent. And I'm so curious to know how that unfolds as my relationship deepens, as our world inevitably changes quite soon. Yeah.
Something that I quite wanted to flag as well, which I think for me has always been really important when thinking about fashion, is body shape and body trends when it comes to the literal physicality of women. Because for me, weight has always been kind of an issue that I've been conscious about. I'm a curvier shape, and my weight fluctuates like nobody's business. Sometimes, you know, there have been years of my life when I've been tiny, 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 and right now in lockdown when my butt could not be bigger. And I think thinking about dressing in terms of my weight is kind of inherent, but also has been really, really tied to kind of my confidence and everything since having been in a relationship. So I think having been with Patrick, obviously I've been a lot more kind of comfortable in my own skin, feeling very deeply loved and appreciated. You know, not only on a kind of emotional and, help me when I say this, spiritual level, but also on a physical level. And so there's been a kind of confidence in wearing clothes that I feel are, you know, work with my form. That's a different way from like how I would dress at university, which might have been a lot more about showing skin, but the actual physical feeling that I have in those clothes is very, very different now.
I had jotted down pretty much the exact same thing to say, which is very poignant. And though I would say, obviously, we each, you know, our relationships with our bodies are always going to be completely unique. And I do, you know, I hope and I know that everyone in the world is able to achieve a positive relationship with their body without the help of someone else. It certainly does help. It helps to feel loved constantly and to feel sexy for the body you have and to have some external validation in that way. And I think that is such a massive part of what has made me just like a more joyful and happy dresser, is that, like you said, I feel in this moment where I feel emotionally and spiritually connected to someone, but also physically, and that I'm able to sort of let go of some of those hangups and think, you know, if it's good enough for me and for my husband, then like, what the hell else am I waiting for? I'm going to wear whatever I want.
Yeah, precisely. And also in terms of just, you know, being comfortable in, yeah, in your choices, whatever it is, you know, far be it from me to, exactly, I don't think people need to define themselves by that external relationship, but there is something that I feel personally changed in my headspace. And maybe that's something that I should do some thinking about, but it's been interesting to track and to keep conscious of.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think even you and I are especially lucky in that we have that in our relationship. There are plenty of people who don't as well, which is also, you know, must be a different type of challenge. And God, it's hard. It's hard to make a generalization based on just, you know, what we've experienced. But tell me also, how has Patrick's style changed in the time that you've been together?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot too. That's very funny. I think that he has, well, I think boringly, I think he's got a bit more interested in London design since he moved to London. And designers live in London. So he's been wearing a bit more kind of, what's he wearing? He's wearing some Martine Rose right now. He wears a lot of J.W. Anderson as well. So he's kind of interested in what people are doing like that now. But Patrick's style as well particularly is focused quite a lot on branding, because he does a lot of logo design. So he likes Eckhouse Lata, Atelier EB. He's kind of interested in, he wears a lot of Prada, like a lot of Prada, but always kind of vintage Prada that I'm like, where the hell did you get those like perfectly cut nylon trousers? Because like, God forbid if I found a pair like those for me on eBay. But I think it's just changed in the sense that he is a little bit more open to things. I think in Germany, I think there's like kind of a more of a like style to the way he dressed before. And now I think he's a little bit freer. And I like to think that I had that impact on him. I think he sees me making so many sartorial mistakes all the time that it doesn't matter so much.
Exactly. He saw you in those overalls. And
he sure did. What about Gabriel? Is he trying on any children's training bras?
Oh my God. You know what I've realized in just the time that we've been talking is that there was actually a third children's item at play there, which was that Gabriel was also wearing this very weird outfit the day we met. Couldn't have been more unlike him. I've never seen him wear an item of sports apparel like in his life. And he was wearing this Russian soccer jersey that his dad had bought for him in Russia. And Gabriel is very tall and very slim. He was, in fact, a runway model when we met. But his dad is just a sort of large man all over and somehow perceives Gabriel to be like incredibly petite. And so he always buys him like children's size medium shirts. And so Gabriel was wearing a boys Russian soccer jersey. And one of the, I think it was the third thing he said to me was, I don't usually dress like this. And I think he thought it was going to be kind of cool and ironic to show up in this shirt. And it was just confusing.
That's so sweet.
And you know what? Actually, halfway through that date, he had a second shirt in his backpack that he changed into because he had come from work and had his backpack.
He brought a spare change of clothes. How very much a sweet 16 of him.
I know. We were both, you know, kind of big partiers in those days, and we always loved to have a backpack on us for the change of clothes.
Legends only.
But since that first date, I think Gabriel's style has actually changed pretty dramatically since we've been together, and I don't want to give myself full credit for that, you know, I don't want to think that that's all me.
But
he was definitely a man of uniform when we met. I think he owned about 6 items of clothing total. And it was like 3 black pairs of pants and 3 black t-shirts with varying sort of hardcore metal graphics on them. And he was very much a Saint Laurent model and very much a Saint Laurent boy in that was his look, just tight black clothing. And for a long time, I couldn't buy him anything that wasn't black, if I tried to give him a gift of like a, you know, jacket or something that wasn't black, he wasn't having it.
So when he was in that black stage, do you think you wore more black?
Yes, absolutely. And I think part of that was definitely coordinating, but part of that was also my style. At the time, I was a little more maybe, I don't want to say goth because that makes me sound like a cliche, but I was definitely doing a little bit more goth influence back then.
Yeah. I remember those days. It worked. It worked.
Yeah. In a stylish way. I was never a true goth, but I was doing a sort of high fashion, black kilt, black sweater, goth thing. Now, you know, Gabriel as like Mr. Colorful. I mean, he's nonstop tie-dye, Gucci patterns. He's got his Gucci glasses. He's like, you know, wearing dresses.
Protégé.
Exactly. And definitely part of that is me. I just wore him down with the color over time. And like you said, I think he started to see the fun that I had getting dressed. And that really changed him to think like it doesn't, getting dressed is a representative of who you are and you should have things that, you know, are your style, but also you have freedom to be something different each day. And he absolutely loves that now. But also I think he's a much happier person now than when we first met, just in terms of everything in his life and of having stability and family in that sense. And it's just such a pleasure for me to see him dress in a way that reflects that happiness that really means a lot to me.
I also am so admiring of how, you know, Gabriel can get away with wearing a skirt. Gabriel can get away with like wearing your clothes so easily. And there's two reasons that I know Patrick would be jealous of that too. One, I wear Patrick's clothes all the time and he just cannot fit into mine. It is the most ridiculous thing ever. Like his big broad shoulders just like do not work. And two, like the fact that Gabriel is able to live in a city like New York and can walk around with the confidence of like being able to gender bend in that way is, yeah, it's stunning. And he looked amazing at the wedding, even with a broken foot.
Oh my God. Yeah. We were just talking about the other day. I completely actually forgot that he had broken his foot, which is good that I don't remember that being part of the day.
The things you block out, eh? My sunburn, Gabriel's broken foot.
At least he was walking on it by that point because he literally didn't walk the whole summer. So
I know. I have this wonderful picture though from the day after of both of you in your monogrammed pajamas and with Gabriel just like limping so heavily.
Yeah, because he danced on it all night. But then he managed to walk around Greece too. We had this whole big debate about whether or not we should bring his like leg scooter on our honeymoon. And thankfully he didn't need it. So.
God, impressive. Adieu. Ruh.
A farewell for now, my fine feathered friend.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. And even more than that, thanks to all our listeners who showed us an overwhelming outpouring of support in our first week as a podcast. You guys have made us so indescribably happy. Continue to like, share, subscribe, email us, send us your thoughts, whatever you wish while we get our feet off the ground here. We'll be back next Friday with a discussion of fashion and fantasy.